Today, if you would please, we're going to turn to the book of Micah in the Old Testament, one of the prophets, Micah 5 and 2. We're studying the prophets in the Sunday school sessions that begin at 10 o'clock. Brother Bartlett taught a great lesson today on a prophet that doesn't have a book named after him, but nonetheless, what a tremendous ministry he had, particularly to King David. And more lessons like that coming up at 10 o'clock. We encourage you to come. But Micah 5 and 2 is a very prophetic utterance about the Messiah. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. And we'll just call this, shall he come forth? Praise God. You may be seated. Though thou be little, that was the designation that was given by the prophet concerning where Christ was to be born, Bethlehem. Not a huge city like Jerusalem or any of the other metropolitan areas in Palestine, just a small place. But the Lord uses small things. The Lord can make great significance out of something that is tiny and small. Moses was a shepherd on the backside of the desert, is what the scripture calls it. Didn't even warrant a name, just the backside of the desert, just somewhere back there. Way far away from everything else. Nothing much different happened to him day by day. It was all pretty much the same. Arise, fix his breakfast, make sure the sheep are okay, plan on where the pasture is that they were going to journey to, make sure they knew where the water hole was so that they could get water, and then camp again. But this day, he saw a bush on fire. And he turned aside to see why it wasn't being burnt up. And God spoke to him out of that burning bush. Moses was the one designated by the Lord to bring forth my people out of Egypt. He was the answer to the prayers of hundreds of thousands of those who were gathered in the area of Goshen, located in the nation of Egypt. Their cry and their prayers were heard by the Lord, and the Lord designated Moses to be the one to be the deliverer. Thank God you can be the answer to somebody's prayer. You can be the answer for those who are hurting or searching, and understand that the Lord would direct you. Amen. Ananias was told to go and pray for Saul of Tarsus. The Lord had revealed his name, I am Jesus. And that I am is so significant because that's how the Lord identified himself to Moses out of that burning bush. I am that I am. Praise God. And when Jesus declared himself to be I am, Saul of Tarsus understood. He knew. It was a great revelation. It was powerful. There's no God like Jehovah. Amen. And he was willing to serve the Lord in that identification. But the Lord also made known the name of Ananias. And he told Ananias, Saul hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. How amazing that that revelation included a relatively unknown prophet or unknown man of prayer, and he would go forth and make a change in the experience of this man named Saul who became the Apostle Paul. Amen. Thank the Lord, and the Lord can use you. God promised Moses, certainly I will be with thee. He let him know that the eternal, self-existent one would be there with him. I will be with thee. But Moses in his humanity, Moses in his recognition that he was not adequate, he was not sufficient, began to make excuses and to ask questions. Who am I? Who will I say sent me? I'm not eloquent. Now, these perhaps could be classified as small things, especially when you have the Lord speaking to you and saying, I'm going to use you. I'm going to be with you. Praise God. But he let these small things keep getting in the way until finally the Lord asked him, what is that in thine hand? Now, shepherds carried a staff or a rod. And he had it in his hand there as the shepherd that he was, standing there talking to that burning bush. And the Lord asked him, what is that in thine hand? Rod. Throw it down. Became a snake. Pick it up. Became a rod again. What was God doing? Just some magic tricks? Just to entertain? No, God was showing him, I'm going to use my power through you. I'm going to show my power to the greatest nation in the world at that time, Egypt. And thank God that the power of the Lord can be revealed. Don't worry about what you have not. Let the Lord use what you've got. Amen. That may not be proper grammar, but it's sure a good message. Praise God. Let the Lord use what you've got. Don't worry what you have not. Thank the Lord. The signs that were used by God with the rod that Aaron and Moses had in their hands. The Lord spoke to Moses and said, thou shalt take this rod in thine hand wherewith thou shalt do signs. Now that rod that he had accompanied him for miles in the backside of the desert. It had knocked down snakes. It had removed rocks from the water hole. It had prodded sheep from time to time. It was just a common, ordinary rod. But God was going to use small things, little things, praise God. And we know the story. Aaron's rod swallowed up the magician's rods when they threw them down in a demonstration of God's power. Aaron's rod hit water and it turned to blood. Aaron smote the dust with his rod and it became lice. All of these different plagues, all of these different manifestations of God's power, the Lord used something small and little. Moses lifted his rod and the Lord sent thunder, not just a thunder that was ordinary in the heavens, and because of the warmth and the cold and so on coming together, we know that meteorologists can explain about thunder. But this was the thunder that brought hail, and not just a hail that would fall from the weather conditions again, but hail that brought fire, God's judgment. Moses lifted his rod, and the Lord sent locusts over and over, the demonstration of God's power in a great way, with just a small thing being demonstrated. The deliverance with the rod in the hand of Moses, the Red Sea being parted, water that would come out of the rock, victory in the battle when Moses held his hands up, and Aaron and Hur came on each side of him to help him hold up the rod as well. Praise God. Water out of the rock again. Our God could do amazing things. And then one that I just am amazed at for what the Lord did. Aaron's rod that budded and blossomed and brought forth almonds. Oh, my God's a God of resurrection. My God can make things alive again. My God can bring his power into your situation and provide life. Hallelujah. Thank God he can minister to every heart and every life by his power. God uses small things. David was anointed to be king, a man after God's own heart, the youngest of eight brothers, not the one Samuel would have picked. No, he was but a youth. His father sent him to the battlefield. Take some corn to your brothers, your three oldest brothers who are there serving in the army. Take this corn. Take 10 loaves of bread. Take these 10 cheeses to your three brothers. Every time I think the word cheeses in Christmas time, I think about somebody who told me about baby Jesus and Jesus of Nazareth, but I won't say that to you today. David heard of Goliath. He volunteered to fight. Saul said, "You're too young. You're inexperienced. You're not able to go up against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth." And he's been a warrior since his youth. He's had all those years' experience. He's had all of those battles, and you haven't even had one. But David would say, "Yes, I have. I've got a lion and a bear that I fought." Now, if it had been a lemming and a baby raccoon, you know, we wouldn't have paid much attention to it. But he said a lion and a bear. And three times he reminded Saul, "I killed a lion and a bear, and God can help me kill that giant." Praise God. He wasn't going to back down. He wasn't going to be talked out of it. He wasn't going to be belittled. He knew God could use little things. Thank God for our youth that share scripture. Thank God for our youth that testify and live for the Lord. Thank God for our youth who are in the workplace and understanding their lives are a testimony of what the Lord can do, keeping them from the world, keeping them in his love and power. Amen. And victories that they've already won. So David picked up 5 smooth stones. He gathered his sling, and the victory over the giant came because David went forth. Not because he had the expertise of that sling. Not because he picked up stones that were just right. No, he said, "I come to thee in the name of the Lord." Moreover, he said, "The battle is the Lord's." And David ran towards the giant, not from him. And when the stone hit the giant and he fell to the earth, David ran to him, removed his sword and removed his head. Amen. David did his part. And God did his part. That's the way it works. Praise God. Oh, yeah. The Lord will do that. And when Saul inquired as to who David is, he reported, "I am the son of thy servant Jesse, the Bethlehemite." That wasn't just chance. Oh no, this was God's plan being worked out, out of Bethlehem. The promise to David about a man from his lineage to be on the throne. The promise of the child that would be born, the son that would be given, and his name being Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David. Praise God. Oh, the one born in Bethlehem. Praise God. The wise men came to King Herod. "Where is he that is born King of the Jews?" Herod turned to the scribes and repeated the question. And it's amazing how they were able to go right to the scroll of Micah and pull it out and unravel it down to what we call now chapter 5, verse 2, and declare Bethlehem is where he's going to be born. Even though it's little out of the tribe of Judah, even though it may seem insignificant, even though it may seem so small, out of Bethlehem is where he's going to come. Praise God. The wise men went to worship the king. Herod desired as well, but thank God, it was thwarted. But that caused Herod to fly into a rage. And he caused a slaughter of the children 2 years and under when the wise men did not return. Man's wickedness is not little. Man's wickedness is not small. It's not insignificant. It's something that the Lord can change. Amen. God can use small things. Jesus talked about the parable of the mustard seed. If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you could do great things. He talked about the seed of the sower thrown into good ground and how it can bring forth 30, 60, and 100-fold. What an incredible return. What an amazing investment. But that's what the Lord could do. The ministry of Jesus was full of miracles, the loaves and the fishes, how little and how insignificant among the thousands that needed to be fed. But the Lord did that work. He said to the blind, go and wash. A small, insignificant step. But he came seeing. He told the 10 lepers, go and show yourself to the priest. And while they went, the Bible says, they were healed. And one came back to give praise to the Lord. I'm thankful we can keep coming back to give praise to the Lord. I'm thankful we can keep coming to his presence again and be uplifted in him and be encouraged in him. Praise God. Though thou be little, yet out of thee shall he come forth. The church started out so small. It was just the 11 because one betrayed the Lord. And then that number swelled to 120 in the upper room. Praise God. And they were filled with the Spirit of God because Jesus said, he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart or out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. Thank God, he will come forth. His power will be demonstrated. His blessing will be there. Thank God. It can come forth because it's in you. God in Christ is a wonderful, marvelous mystery, a tremendous truth. God in Christ. But Christ in you. Ah, that's incredible as well. Amazing and so great salvation. Christ in you. Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Oh, I'm glad we know who is within us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. Amen. John would write towards the end of his ministry, and he is about the only remaining apostle now, but he sees the church going on. He sees the power of God being manifest. He sees the hand of the Lord being demonstrated. He says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Oh, thank God he can come forth. Thank God he can demonstrate his power. Thank God he can do a great work. Because God hath chosen. And Paul writes to the Corinthian church and lets them know, God hath chosen. It's not many wise that have been chosen. Not many mighty, not many noble. He's talking about the designation of the flesh. What people would think is important. What the flesh would designate is of great significance. It's not those in the flesh who are wise and mighty and noble. But God chooses the weak. God chooses the lowly. God chooses the despised. They don't stay that way because the power of God within them becomes a great and mighty force. Amen. But no flesh can glory in his presence. It's not me. It's not you. It's not us. It's him. Hallelujah. And his power is so great. His power is so wonderful. His power is so strong. Oh, I'm thankful we can choose to be used by God. And let him come forth. Praise God. It almost looks like a question, doesn't it? Shall he come forth? Almost like we forgot the question mark. But it's not a question. It's a statement. It's a statement of power. He shall come forth from you. Amen. You allow him to bless. You allow him to fill. You allow him to empower. You allow him to strengthen. Praise God. And there will be that power. Peter said, such as I have, give I thee. And the power of that name made a change in the lives of that crippled one. We can live in the power of the name of Jesus and of his Spirit. And then we can give in the name of Jesus and the power of his Spirit. Praise God. He's coming back for his church. A glorious church without spot or wrinkle. Amen. Without being tainted by this world. Without being impacted by what the world feels is important. Marching to a different drummer as it were. A glorious church without spot or wrinkle that he's going to present to himself. What a present we can be to the Lord. Praise God. What a gift that we can be to give unto ourselves unto the Lord. Amen. shall he come forth. I'm glad he called Lazarus forth. Lazarus, come forth. Praise God. And that dead man came walking out of the tomb. Oh, again, my God is a God of resurrection. Praise God. And he's going to call the church to come up higher. Praise God. Come forth. Amen. And I trust that your desire in your heart is the greatest ever, that you're going to be ready to go, ready to meet him, ready to rise to meet him in the air. Praise God. Would you stand with me? Thank God for his power today. Thank God for his strength today. Though thou be little. Our society and our media today make sure that they mock you as a Christian, mock you as a churchgoer, mock you as someone who believes the Bible, that they would designate as fables and legends. And oh, thank God, we know the true power of the Lord. We know his hand can heal. We know his blood can cleanse. We know his forgiveness and wipe away every stain of sin. We know his spirit fills within. We know his spirit brings power and overcoming strength. Praise God. Though thou be little, yet out of thee shall he come forth. Oh, I want to show the power of God. Not to lift me up, no, to lift him up. Praise God. I want to speak a word that would encourage somebody. Not my words, no, his words. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, let's raise our hands and commit ourselves to him here today. Hallelujah.